You can find the reading on page 1181. It's Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Given it's only two verses, I'll read through twice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Caspian, thank you for reading those words from the Bible for us. Do keep them open in front of you. As Rufus said, my name is David Lee. I'm the Associate Vicar here at St. Peter's, and it's great to be able to add my welcome to his. And as he also said, we're thinking about peace this evening. One of the things that lots of people in our local community said when we asked them, what do you want most? Peace. Whether that's the inner peace that we were thinking about, or world peace, whether it's the peace that personally comes from a good night's sleep or having a day free of stress, loads of people want peace. For some people, it was a real immediate peace. They were wanting a sort of stop the world, I want to get off, life has just become too much. Others just wanted to be more at peace with themselves, more happy in their own skin. The more eloquent among us didn't want peace, they wanted serenity or tranquility. One person we spoke to said the thing they wanted most was nirvana. And that could be the 90s grunge band to make a return, but I think they probably meant that Buddhist state of liberation. Another person hedged their bets. They said they wanted happiness for all, or maybe world peace, or perhaps a year's supply of ice cream. We want peace for ourselves. We want peace for our world. And we look everywhere for it. We'll try anything to get it. Who knows, that year's supply of ice cream may have been their way of wanting peace. We'll turn to all sorts of things. And yet, no matter where we look, so often, peace is fleeting. It's hard for us to find an unattainable goal. It may be that Donald Trump's talks go marvelously in North Korea, but if past experience is anything to go by, no matter what governments or NGOs do, hostilities continue to rage around the world. World peace seems no closer than before. And no matter what we do, that inner sense of peace can feel equally hard to get hold of, hard to grasp. Now, there's loads we could think about this evening about a Christian perspective on peace, but I'm going to focus, as you may have guessed from the verses we had read, on that inner peace that God offers to those who trust him. Looking at the answers, I think more people were interested in that than world peace, although many interested in both. Very happy to talk to you later if you're really interested in world peace, if that's why you're here. But in case you can't wait, let me give you the short version of what I would say to you later. I'd say that in the Bible, we read God's promise that one day Jesus will return to earth from heaven. And when he does that, he will come and restore our broken world, as we were thinking about in our prayers just a moment ago. And when that happens, when Jesus returns, he will bring peace to the world. There'll be no more hostilities. And the Bible is clear that that's a certain, sure hope for the future, that one day will happen. That will happen in the future, but God makes no promises about peace in the present. It's a good thing to pray for, it's a good thing to work for in our world. But there's no promise that we'll enjoy peace in the here and now. In fact, the Bible often leads us to expect the opposite, that our world will be a place of conflict, an unpeaceful place. There is a certain hope for that world peace for Christians, but it's a future hope. I'd love to talk to you more about that later. But something is possible now, and that's that personal peace, that inner peace we're going to be thinking about this evening. And indeed, as we just heard in our reading, the Apostle Paul speaks of that inner peace that's available right now in the present. If you've lost your page, that reading was on 1181. Helpful to have that open in front of you as we go along. And you might also want to grab a pen and a slip of paper that looks like this, that should have been tucked inside your order of service. After I've spoken, there'll be a chance to ask some questions, and you may want to jot a question down as it comes to you. There should be some pens on the table to help with that as well. And if you want to know where we're going, if you open up your order of service, there's an outline of our talk. And if you look at that outline, you can see we're going to think about this peace that we can know personally under four headings. It's a peace that frees us from anxiety, a peace that is available in all situations, a peace that transcends understanding, and a peace that protects our hearts and minds. Well, let's start at the top and think about how this is a peace that frees us from anxiety. It comes at the beginning of the reading, right at the start of verse 6. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. Because implicitly, we don't need to be anxious about anything. If you have this peace that Paul is speaking of, you don't need to be worried about whether you're on the right career path. You don't need to lose nights of sleep about making the right decision about Mr. or Mrs. Wright. You don't need to panic about not realizing your potential. You don't need to fear missing out if you've never done Southeast Asia or you haven't got on the property ladder at the same point that your peers have or you haven't ticked everything off your bucket list by the time you're 40. You don't need to fear missing out on those things. You don't need to be anxious, Paul says, about anything. It's a peace that frees us from anxiety. It's also a peace that is available in every situation. This is something that Paul, who, as I said, wrote this bit of the Bible, knew personally. He was a man who was at peace, and yet his peace didn't come from one of the things that we might think would bring us peace. He wasn't on some island in the middle of the Pacific and having gone to find himself when he discovered this peace. Now, he's somewhere very different altogether. As he writes these words, he's imprisoned in Rome, in a Roman prison. And even though he was in chains, his opponents were seeking to stir up more and more trouble for him. Paul was far from being in what we might think of as a peaceful place. And yet he's at peace. The peace that Paul is describing here, it can cope with whatever the world throws at us, with the worst that we can have in life. It's a peace that frees us from anxiety, that is available in all situations, and that, verse 7, transcends understanding. That is, it's a peace we can't quite get our heads around. We can't quite make sense of it. We can't quite make sense of how you can be at peace when you're imprisoned and people are still working against you. And because we can't quite get our heads around it, we can't comprehend it, it's not a peace that we can get for ourselves. And we'll think more about that in just a moment. But being a peace that transcends understanding also means something really good for us. It means it's a peace more wonderful than we could ever dream up ourselves, more wonderful than we could imagine. And then the fourth thing about this peace, again, it comes in verse 7. It's a peace that protects. Have a look with me at verse 7. Let's see how it's described. Paul writes, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. the soldiers who stand guard outside Buckingham Palace, protecting the Queen, do that. And they're attentive to all that's going on around them, and they're alert to threats and potential dangers. And the peace that Paul is speaking of here is just the same. It'll protect your heart, that is the core of your being, from falling into any sort of anxiety. It'll protect your mind from the thoughts that will disturb your peace, that would lead to fear and distress. Can you see how good the peace that Paul is describing here is? It's a peace that frees us from anxiety, frees us from worry, that endures through all the ups and downs of life, and that protects our hearts and minds from becoming distressed. I don't know about you, but that's the sort of peace that I would like to have in my life, the sort of peace I would like to enjoy. And so the obvious question to ask is, how do we get it? How can we get this peace? Well, I've already said it's something that we can't get on our own. So where can we turn to? Where can we turn to? Well, Paul tells us that this peace comes from trusting God. Peace comes from trusting God. That's the essence of what he says in verse 6. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." When you pray, you're expressing trust in God. You're saying, here's something that I can't do, that I'm asking you to do. And Paul says, as you trust God in that way, what happens? Verse 7, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Trusting God and expressing that trust through prayer will bring you peace. And if you trust in God in this way and you have this peace, well, you don't need to be anxious about anything. Why is that? Well, because as you entrust your cares and your concerns to God, you're entrusting the things that you long for most in life to one who knows what's best for you and one who can give you what is best for you. Now, that means that you won't necessarily get everything you ask for when you pray. Getting everything isn't where the peace comes from. Rather, the peace comes from trusting God. And like a parent who gives their child a balanced diet, even if they only ever ask for ice cream, God gives his children what's best for them. So when you entrust your career or your relationships or your lifestyle, whatever it is that you hope and dream for, when you entrust those things to God, he'll give you what's best. And if you're getting what's best, well, you don't need to worry about those things. There's nothing to be anxious about. You can be at peace. You can have a peace that frees you from anxiety. Well, trusting God, it also brings peace in each and every situation. As you realize that God is in control, as you trust him that he is in control, the penny drops that whatever situation you're in, it isn't beyond him. It may feel like it's beyond you, but because he's in control, it's not beyond him. And because you trust a God who will give you what is best, well, then you sort of appreciate that he's in control and he will give me what's best for me to endure or to make the most of this situation. Let me tell you about this woman. Is there a picture coming up on the screen? There we go. This lady is called Helen Rozovich. She was a Christian doctor who spent much of the 50s, 60s and 70s working in the Congo, setting up new hospitals and training up local medical practitioners. In 1964, civil war broke out while she was out in the Congo, and she was taken captive by rebel soldiers. She was held by then for a 5-month period. And during that period, she both witnessed and experienced unspeakable atrocities. And yet later on, she wrote of how, through her trust in God, she had a peace throughout those 5 months. And that peace, she said, I've got this peace. Even if I never know why God has taken me through these things, I'm at peace that I know that he has done what is best in this situation. It's a remarkable thing to be able to say, isn't it? Trusting God, Paul would have us say, Helen, Rosalie would have us know, brings us a peace that frees us from anxiety. It brings us a peace that's available in each and every situation. And then the third thing, well, trusting God means it doesn't matter if the peace that you have transcends understanding. If this God-given peace comes from trusting in God, well, it doesn't matter if we can't get our heads around it, because he can. He does understand it. It's a bit like flying a plane. I don't really know how to fly a plane. Put me in control of a 747 and it wouldn't end well. But when I fly, I know that the pilot knows what he's doing. And so as I trust the pilot to do whatever it is that they do to fly planes, I can have a peaceful flight. Or suppose you go in for an operation. You don't need to understand the chemistry of the anesthetic or the biology of whatever it is they're fixing on your body to be at peace, because the doctors know those things. You don't need to know them. They know them, and you trust them to do whatever it is that they need to do to fix you. Trusting the doctors means that you can have peace about the operation, even if you don't understand all of it. And the great thing is, even though you don't understand what's going on, you get to enjoy the benefits of it. You get to enjoy flying to your destination or having a mended body. You get to enjoy all the benefits, even though you can't quite understand it. And it's exactly the same with this peace. Even though it transcends all understanding, we're able to enjoy it. Trusting God, it leads us to a peace that frees us from anxiety that's available in every situation, that transcends all understanding, and that fourthly protects our hearts and minds. You see, this peace that you get when you trust God, it'll look after you. It'll guard your heart, guard your mind, because it protects you from the fear of our own inadequacies, the fear of how I could mess life up, because I'm trusting God. I don't need to protect myself because he is watching over me. And it keeps us from those anxiety-inducing patterns of thought that can swamp us. It keeps us from the pressure of difficult circumstances, which we're so vulnerable to, because we're trusting that he's in control. That comes in verse 7. And there's one more thing at the end of verse 7 that I haven't mentioned so far. It's where this peace comes from. I wondered if you noticed it, the place of this protection. Paul says it happens in Christ Jesus. In other words, the gateway to enjoying this peace, to knowing this protection, to being able to trust God in everything, is trusting him first in the biggest thing. Trusting him to bring you peace with himself. Trusting him to bring you peace, not just in this life, but the next life. And being in Jesus Christ, which is one of the Bible's ways of talking about believing in him, it opens the doors to all those things. Peace with God, peace in the next life, peace in this life. Now that's a massive claim. It's a massive claim at the heart of the Christian faith. And it's one that's well worth thinking about. And if you'd like to do that, let me tell you about two things that would be a great thing to do. I meant to pick up some flyers. Can I grab some flyers off you, Ruth? First would be to come back, to continue to explore the things that we want most here in Fulham, to come back next Sunday to think about health in the morning, something that can induce anxiety, and wealth, money in the evening, another thing that many of us don't have peace about. They would be great things to continue to think about these things. The second thing, you can find details on this flyer. This would be a great course to come to. It runs over 4 weeks in June that we're running in a church, house local to church. And you can see from the front of the flyer the question, what is the best gift God could give you? And it's a chance as we think about that to explore life together and the big questions of life. And both those things would be a great way of following up on this peace, thinking about more about this peace that the Bible offers us. Well, let me commend those to you. You should have been given those on the way in. You see, peace, it's something that we all want, something that so few of us feel we have. And yet, wonderfully, the Bible says it's something that God offers to us. We can have peace. And the peace that we can have is the most wonderful peace you could ever imagine. It's a peace that transcends our understanding. It's beyond our wildest dreams. It means we need not worry about anything. It's available in all situations throughout the ups and downs of life. And it's a peace that will protect our hearts and minds from slipping out of peaceful places. And what do we have to do to have this peace? Well, we just need to trust God. In a moment, I'm going to ask Jacinta to come and join me on the stage. Jacinta's a member of our church family, and she has very kindly agreed to talk about some of the ways she's experienced this peace in her life. But before we do that, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer asking God that we might all know this peace that he speaks of. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are able to give us what we most want, what we most need in life. Thank you that through trusting you, that a peace is available that frees us from anxiety, that works through all of life, and that protects us. Father, please would all of us know that peace. Might you give us that gift. Might you help us see how that's available to us in Jesus Christ. Please, if we're thinking about these things for the first time, would you help us understand and process them? And please, if they're things that we've enjoyed for a while, would you keep us in them? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.